I'm Aaron Winiwski. I'm the pastor here. I'm so glad you're here on Easter morning. This is a time of year when we remember that God loved the world so much that he gave his son. And we see the giving of his son lead up to this day that we observed on Friday, the first day. His crucifixion was brutal. The first day was brutal. The second day was dark. Oh, but on the third day, that's what we celebrate today. Last weekend, we had some nice weather, and I had some people over, and we grilled outside, and then a couple of days later, snow. Sometimes that happens, and I just think, why in the world do I live in Wisconsin? I don't get it. Every time I have to shovel the driveway, I think that. Sometimes it looks like this. Like this, or like this, or like this. Yeah, so much snow. And it seems like it's like that for so many months of the year. I thank God, though, that every year I can count on spring coming around. I know it's coming. I have hope. When we think about the disciples of Jesus, at the time Jesus was betrayed and crucified, that first day, it was brutal. And the second day, they didn't have any hope. They didn't know what was coming. They didn't realize that the sun would rise again, that there would be light, that there would be hope. It was like a winter that they thought was going to last forever. Hope was crucified. They had killed it. We had killed him. He died for our sins. Yeah, the first day was brutal. The second day was dark. Oh, but on the third day,
early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him and fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know who you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there."
Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with this amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said.
Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all of the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it's getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter."
Yes, the first day was brutal. The second day was dark. Oh, but on the third day. Today is Easter, and there are Orthodox and Catholic and Protestant churches around the world where disciples of Jesus are gathering, and they're using a traditional greeting in order to greet one another that goes back hundreds of years. And often with this traditional greeting, there's a combined kiss that happens. In some churches, it's one. In some, it's two. In some, it's three. We always want to be a church at New Day. The reason we were started was to be a church for people who are far from church or far from God, people who maybe don't know the traditions or the rules. So if you came in here and were expecting a kiss, I'm sorry. That just isn't how we roll. We don't want to freak people out. So we don't do the kiss. I do, however, think there's some value in joining hundreds of millions of disciples of Jesus around the world who participate in the traditional Easter greeting. And the way that it goes is similar to what we just heard in Scripture, where the disciples, there's this ripple where they're hearing that Jesus is risen. And they're running into others, and they're announcing that he's risen. And then some of them have already seen that he's risen, and they believe it, and so they say, "He is risen indeed." So the traditional greeting that millions and millions of disciples of Jesus are sharing around the world today goes like this: "He is risen," and the response is, "He is risen indeed." And it's an excited response. I was thinking about it this morning and thinking it's a good thing that they said he is risen indeed, because that sounds really nice and really official and really positive. I was imagining, what if somebody said, "He is risen," and the response was, yeah, I just seen him, just this one time. You know, it's just not, it was succinct. So I like that. He is risen indeed. So kids in the room, I want to practice. So adults, let's give the kids a chance. If you're normally kids club age and you're in a room, I want to hear your voices. And this is an exciting time, because the first day was brutal. The second day was dark. Oh, but on the third day, they discovered. Now help me out, kids. He is risen.
He is risen.
That was so great. That was so great. So we're all going to, we're going to join them. We're going to join them together. Okay, everybody, let's practice that. He is risen.
He is risen.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. 1 week ago, there were disciples of Jesus gathering in a place where disciples are persecuted. Much like they were 2,000 years ago, persecution is still happening. They were gathered together to worship, and suicide bombers destroyed two churches in Egypt. People who were coming together to worship Jesus. Now, disciples of Jesus in Egypt today, where they could be, they know they could be killed for worshiping Jesus. They are still coming together because their hope is not in what they can get from this life. Their hope is in the fact that Jesus loves them so much. God loves them so much that He gave His Son so that whoever believes in Him won't perish but will have eternal life. Their hope is in eternal life, and that's sealed because He is risen. Let's join with them in saying, He is risen. Yes. Now, and just a few days ago, there was a tragedy in San Bernardino, California, where someone went into a school with a gun and took people's lives, and there's a huge call to prayer in San Bernardino as that tragedy happened. Today, people affected by that tragedy, disciples of Jesus, are putting their hope in God's justice, in God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And their hope comes from the fact that Jesus rose again on the third day. Oh, the first day was brutal and the second day was dark. Oh, but on the third day, with the people in San Bernardino, let's say, He is risen. He is risen indeed. This week, there are people who gathered together. They gather together every week at a church called Emmanuel AME in South Carolina. And this week they got the news that a man who went into their church building, and as people were studying God's Word, he gunned them down and was sentenced this week to 9 consecutive life sentences. This is the news that they're carrying with them as they come into Resurrection Sunday, as they come into the Easter celebration. They have been meeting in the place where the crime happened, if you can imagine that, and worshiping God because He lives, together with our brothers and sisters at Emmanuel AME Church in South Carolina. We say, He is risen. He is risen indeed. In our own community, just a couple of weeks ago, we had a brutal day. And we had a dark day. And there will be brutal days. There will be more dark days to come. Our hope, though, our hope is in the third day. Paul gave this encouragement to early disciples of Jesus in a letter he wrote, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. Listen to this. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with Him the believers who have died. Where does our hope come from? It comes from our belief in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God loved the world that much, and He showed His power over death. So we do not grieve like people who have no hope. In the midst of brutality and darkness, our hope is linked directly to the resurrection of Jesus. So together, as a community who knows what a brutal day looks like and who knows the feel of darkness and the smell of hell in our own community, That isn't going to hold us down in despair. Yes, we will grieve. Our grief won't be like those without hope, though. And if you don't know that hope, you need to know it. You need to know where you sit right now. God loves you so much, not when you clean up your act, but as you are. While you are sitting in your sin, He loves you so much. He sent His Son so that your sin could be nailed to the cross. He shows His power to hold you, to prepare for you an eternal home, so that no matter what happens here, oh, there is a third day. There is a resurrection. There is an eternal life. So together with that hope, let's say again, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. God, for those Christians around the world who are being persecuted, who are risking their lives by gathering together, God, we pray that You would protect them, that You would give them safety, that You would honor the sacrifice that martyrs are making even today, that You would show through the brutality that happens against them, that You would show a grace, a forgiveness, a mercy, like You showed us for the families in South Carolina, the families here in our own community, that there would be a hope that goes beyond this life. Secure that hope today as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, the new life that You have offered us through Your mercy, through Your love. We celebrate You this morning and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Just take a moment, a quiet moment. Take a deep breath and remember the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believed something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scriptures said. He was buried, and He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures said. He was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. After that, He was seen by more than 500 of His followers at one time. Most of them are still alive, though some have died. Then He was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw Him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out His special favor on me, and not without results, for I've worked harder than any of the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God, who was working through me by His grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed.